Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bizzle Fuma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
My name is Craig Ferguson. The name of this podcast is Joy. I talk to interesting people about what brings them happiness. Meet Colm Delane, young, emerging American entrepreneur slash artist slash genius who's turning his fashion brand, Kid Super, into a global phenomenon. Have a listen to this kid. That's all right.
We should collab.
You know,
that would be hilarious.
Fashion week.
And like just all dead bodies.
All corpses. Would that be awesome?
I think it's a good idea. I just don't know how.
Tasteful?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of thing. We're on and we're talking. But just so as you know, we are now being recorded.
Okay.
It's all right. But you think then the idea of fashion week, all dead bodies, that's my idea, that you just, but you don't think it's going to work?
On record, if it comes from your idea, and then I just did it, and I was like, well, it was Craig, you know, he was so adamant about this
idea. Yeah, but I don't get to bully you around. You're the wonderkind. You're the face, the emerging face of American, nay, the world fashion.
Yes, but as the face of American fashion is quite funny to even think about.
But if we propped up dead bodies and just like, or just...
Oh, you thought they were propped. I thought they were just open casket. Well, and you just analyze the looks.
Well, how can you look at the... I mean, then it's not going to work.
No,
obviously.
No, you like treat it truly like a funeral where you're, instead of like going up to see them and cry, you just like go up and be like, wow, that's a great outfit.
That, you know what? See, this is why you are, you're who you are. Do people call you Kid Super because the brand's called Kid Super? Do people say, hey, Kid Super?
Yes, and if they don't know me.
Right.
And my first name's a little weird for Americans.
Colm?
Yeah, Colm.
Yeah, it's, I grew up with a lot of guys called Colm. So, yeah.
But so, if you call me Kid or Kid Super, it's usually you don't know me super, super well.
Well, and here's the thing as well, though. You don't want people calling you Kid for a long time because then you get into the Kid Rock scenario.
Which I've thought about this.
Right.
There's Kid Rock.
Right.
There's Kid Cudi.
Right.
And as they've grown older, you forget the meaning of Kid. It just becomes the name.
All right. I get it. So your name is Kid.
You're just like, oh, it's just a sound.
Yeah. But I think Colm's a lovely name. And
yeah.
I think your mom and dad were very proud to give you that name. And
is Craig your real name?
No. Weirdly, my real name is Kid.
Show business name.
Yeah. Craig is the show business. Craig is like the male version of being called Karen.
Yes.
I think it's a little bit.
I don't know. Not in America.
Well, maybe not. Okay, yes. So let's just get a bit of background on you a little bit before we go into the fashion genius. Well, actually, let's go into fashion genius a little bit because I noticed that you won the Karl Lagerfeld Prize. Do you ever meet Karl Lagerfeld?
I did not.
Ah, that's a shame. My wife met him.
And he was amazing?
He was nice to her, yeah. He said, you look beautiful. He said to her. I don't know if he said it like that. But
well, he has some of the best quotes ever.
Yeah?
Where it's like, anyone who wears sweatpants doesn't care about their lives.
Well, you know... I mean, look,
he's not wrong.
He may have a point. I'm not saying he's right all the time, but...
I think my number one seller is sweatpants.
Really? You sell sweatpants?
Yeah.
But they're fancy sweatpants with an odd design on them.
They are cool sweatpants, but sweatpants took over, I think. And, you know, I'm a comfortable guy, but I do wish I lived in that era of fashion where you could say these kind of outlandish things.
I think you can, man.
Now?
Yeah.
But I need the look. I have.
Well, you've got the look.
I've got the look.
Do you know what? I was thinking about you the other day because I was in Pittsburgh. Now, let me finish. I was in Pittsburgh and I saw a lot of people in sweatpants. But I went to the Andy Warhol Museum. And I have you been to that museum?
I haven't.
Ah, it's really cool. You'd love it. But as I walked around it, I thought, you know what? I met somebody really recently. Reminds me. Are you influenced by Warhol, do you think?
It's always funny because some people consider me an artist, some people consider me a fashion designer, blah, 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 blah. And
right.
I never called myself either of the things. I was just at a young age trying to make things and trying to make them tangible and trying to make them that someone could purchase, right?
Right.
And so that like kind of commercial aspect of it wasn't so much like, oh, I'm this business genius. It was like, okay, I'm 15. I need to figure out how to like make something that can connect me with different people or turn into a little bit of sales. And so I was always really good at drawing and I just started drawing on t-shirts. And then I got what I loved about fashion was it was like the easiest, I mean, I don't know, for me it was art form to meet new people.
Right.
Because it was like, oh, you might come from completely different backgrounds, completely different interests, but might both like the Kid Super t-shirt.
And that's why the kind of Warhol thing is like, because
right.
Warhol collected people as well as art.
And, exactly.
And he was very, you know, and he went across a whole lot of different areas. And he had that kind of artist as capitalist, which I kind of like, I really like about you as well, man. You're quite unashamedly entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
Which I love. It's not like, there's not like a phony rock and roll about it. It's real rock and roll. It's like, no, this has got to be successful. I want it to be successful.
Yeah. And I think also I was so out of the art world and I was so out of the fashion world that it wasn't like, it didn't even feel possible. So it wasn't like, oh, Colm, if you have more integrity about your art or blah, blah, blah. Like, I was like, no one was treating me as an artist. I was a kid in Brooklyn who majored in mathematics and was a soccer player.
Right.
So it was like, I was like just trying to hustle and bustle for new opportunities. And like part of that was an entrepreneurial spirit. But the entrepreneurial spirit came also from like a little bit of the New York spirit is entrepreneurial.
Sure.
Like no one moves here to just sit around. You
right.
move here to make it. You move here to enter. And like if you didn't move here for that, your parents did.
Right.
And so there is a push, I think, to like kind of create your own lane. And for me at a young age, that was very just entrepreneurial.
But so your parents moved here. Your mom's Spanish, right?
Yeah.
And your dad's Irish?
Yeah.
So that's a fiery combination. Do you have a bad temper?
They do.
So it kind of negated.
I was like a Dr. Phil growing up. Well, it was just like they always fight about everything. And so I had to be a little bit like, come on, guys, the cabinet door being open isn't this big of a deal.
That's really interesting. Do you think, were you an only child?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of interesting. So you are the genetic experiment between your mom was an artist, though. Your mom is an artist,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. But again, they didn't realize and still...
Do you want to take the call? It's cool. I know you're busy.
No, I've muted it. Come on,
that's
I muted
okay.
it.
It's okay.
It was just a loud vibrate.
You know what? You're an emerging artist.
Come on.
You're doing your thing in New York. If you need to take a call in the middle of this, it's fine. Okay.
I don't.
All right. So your mom is an artist.
Yeah.
Your dad's not an artist?
No, he's not. But I would give him a performance artist kind of energy. He's a crazy guy that like, if we were here and competing over like who could climb to the building the quickest or who will break that window, he'll do it.
Okay. All right. So he has an adventurous spirit.
Incredibly, like to the point, a super extreme sense. Like one story when I was, I think I must have been 13. We went skydiving for our first time ever.
Okay.
Right? And I was like, I don't really want to go skydiving. He convinced the instructors that he was a professional and that he must go alone.
What?
And you have to do like 100 to 200.
Yeah, no, that's very dangerous.
Super dangerous.
Yeah.
And so he was like, I'm a professional. I've done this many, many, many times. And I think he had done it once with someone on his back before, like 5 years prior.
Right.
Anyways, he convinces them,
right,
jumps off the plane completely alone, right? Then he's supposed to like pull it at a certain time, yeah, and he doesn't. And so they all fly to him, the instructors. They're like, pull it, pull it, pull it. And so he pulls it. And then they're supposed to land in like a soccer field size thing.
Right.
And we don't see my dad when everyone lands. And we're like, oh my God, like, did he, blah, blah, blah. And then 10 minutes later, he walks in with the whole parachute and was like, that was amazing. And he's like banned from life from this place.
Oh, really? Yeah. Ego banned?
Well, they were like, what the fuck?
Did you feel... I would be kind of what the fuck as
that
well.
That is a crazy story.
But did you feel kind of unsafe growing up, or were you okay?
No. Always felt safe.
Right, yeah, okay. Yeah. So you grew up, and it's a... Because I think of you, like, we've had conversation before, yeah, and I think of you as... You have a kind of, like, a stable background.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, your family is kind of...
Together still.
Right, and it...
They were just moving a lot. And crazy thinkers. But what I always say to this, and obviously I'm not a parent, but I think the best thing to do as a parent is that you and your kid have the same priorities.
Okay.
And I think when you're very little, you get in trouble for stuff that you can't really understand, where you're like, oh, like standing on top of this table wasn't that bad. Why am I getting yelled at so much? And then like getting...
It's not as bad as telling the flight, the instructors that you're a professional.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, that is bad.
And then getting like a B in school, like you don't get in trouble so much.
Right.
So then you're kind of like, what's like, when I was a kid, I could stand on the table no matter what, no one cared, or my parents didn't care. But if I got a B in school, I was in a lot of trouble. So...
Were you a straight A student then? Did you do well?
I was a straight A student. But I felt like, okay, I understand why you're being mean here and why you're not being mean here.
Right.
And so I always felt like we were on the same team.
Right, okay.
Fair enough. I was like, okay, I can take punishment because I understand when I'm wrong. And then when we're on the same side, it's like other people might think it's not the best acting, but I thought like standing on a table is fun.
Yeah, I think you turned out all right.
Yeah.
So you come out of school and were you drawn into fashion? Was it through music? Because usually young people, it's through music, right?
I had moved a ton growing up. So I went from like New York, Chicago, New York, Mexico, Wisconsin, back to New York.
And
so
why was that? Is because your parents work and stuff?
My dad was just getting new jobs.
Okay.
And so since he's Irish, he was like, fuck it.
Yeah, like, no, I'm familiar with the condition.
Mexico's the same as New York.
Yeah, yeah.
But Wisconsin, when I was like 11, was very, very much like what was cool was sports. So if you were good at sports, you were a cool kid.
Okay.
And then I moved right to Brooklyn at 12, and what was cool was fashion.
Right.
And I knew nothing about fashion. And I was like, I couldn't really wrap my head around like young kids spending a lot of money on clothes to make themselves cool.
Right.
And I was kind of like, well, I was like anti-culture, where I was like, oh, this is stupid. Let me just make my own clothes.
Right.
And so that was really why the clothing thing happened.
So you started making your own clothes. How did it turn professional? Whose notice did it come to?
It's funny, like, there isn't a moment where it's like, you are professional,
right,
which I wish it was.
Yeah, no,
would
I
be
know
very
you
cool.
Mean, yeah.
But I think, I mean, so I started with t-shirts in high school that I was spray painting. Then I started screen printing. And then I manufactured my first hat that was with a factory that was like custom. Everything else was like I was buying a t-shirt and printing.
I wish I could say that I had manufactured my first hat.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
There's nothing says you're going to be a billionaire like having a phrase in your life like, and that's when I manufactured my first hat.
Yeah. But that was pretty big deal for me because I was like, probably 17 on Alibaba, which is like an
I know what it is.
Chinese website where you can get anything made.
Right.
And so I was talking to all these factories and knew nothing. And I asked 10 different factories for this one hat design. And this one hat, and they all sent me 10 different ones. Most were horrendous, but one was incredible. And I was like, this is the start of me like learning how to make things and produce things. And so that hat I dropped with like t-shirts and a hoodie, and I was like, this is a full collection. I'm like, I am a top-tier designer.
Did you ever watch Project Runway? Did you?
No, but Project Runway to me was like so fashion. I was like such a streetwear person at the time. And so I was like, okay, I have a hat that's unique, and I have t-shirts. And so I dropped the collection, and I was in college at the time, and a kid on my soccer team's roommate built the website, and that was my huge, like, oh man, I'm going to sell it to people that I don't know, because at the time, you're like, how do you find people that you don't know to buy your clothes?
I think it's fascinating is you're very clearly a result of your time as well. Like, you use the resources of the internet.
And yeah.
I mean, that's interesting that you were on a Chinese manufacturing website when you're a teenager.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are other kids doing it as
now,
well.
Now I think it's even crazier because now there's all like, there's Instagrams now devoted to finding manufacturing for young clothing brand designers.
Is that good, do you think? Does it help?
It helps if you're young, but it also, it just allows so many people to enter the field.
Yeah.
So you're like a young designer. For me, it took ages to make my own shoe, right?
Right.
Now you can make your own shoe quite easily if you do the research, and you're all of a sudden talking to a shoe manufacturer in Asia, and you're like 16. So
let's talk a little bit about shoe manufacturers in Asia a little bit, because there is, you know, there is an ethical problem in your industry about how stuff
a negative
gets
connotation.
Yeah, there is.
As well.
Is that something that you're cognizant of? Of course you're cognizant of, but does it play into how you make your stuff?
Well, there's two things. One, China makes everything.
Right.
It's not just clothes, whatever. So they're
your iPhone, everything.
They're the best manufacturers of things in general.
Right.
And it's not just pricing, it's just bare minimum. If you want the highest end thing, they could still make it the best.
Right.
And it's just because they've had infrastructure for 70 years and we took off the past 70 years, basically.
Right.
Like, we basically just handed them all manufacturing.
Right.
And we stopped doing it in America. And so the idea that it's like worse or better or whatever, there are factories that are very bad, but there's also factories that are very good.
Okay.
And like the factory that I work with, like, I visited and went to dinner with the whole like staff.
Oh.
And like, it was like, okay, this is nicer.
So you checked it out?
Yeah, I checked it out. Uh-huh. And it was like, she's always complaining that her husband's playing too much basketball.
Right.
So it's like, she has the same problems and we're working at as well. But what I love about China and working with factories there is like, okay, if you want to make a pair of denim jeans in America, you have to go find the fabric, which isn't from America.
Right.
So maybe there's some from America, but usually it's not. So let's say you imported Japanese denim, right? Now you have to get a factory that cuts it.
Right.
Then you have to go find the factory who makes the buttons. Then you have to have another factory that puts the buttons on the jeans.
Right.
So like, you've just touched 10 factories and like tons of shipping and all this stuff to make one pair of pants.
Right.
China's infrastructure is, it's all in the same area. It's all in the same block. So they don't even, it's not even considered going to different factories. It's just all done in-house.
Okay.
So if you're talking about, you know, there's other issues with shipping that comes in to play.
Yeah, that's
you know, so.
But let's, we made a kind of a leap there because we got you out of high school and now you're touring factories in China looking for the best deal for your jeans. But in between there is your relationship with Paris Fashion Week, which I think is fascinating because you kind of, That's kind of where you made your bones, really, isn't
it?
Now, so you applied to Paris Fashion Week with street fashion? Was that the way you did it?
So basically, to speed up the story, I was in college. I launched the brand. Things start moving a little bit. I convert my sophomore year dorm into a store. And so everyone's coming to my dorm room, and it looks like a storefront, and I got racks of clothing. And
you're going to be so rich. It's scary.
and then I'm like, okay, I get in trouble with my dean of housing because they didn't like that I had a business.
Of course, yeah.
And so I'm like,
you should have told them you were a professional parachutist or something. They even let you.
I was trying to say, like, why am I not the face of housing?
Yeah.
I was like, give me a bigger room. I was like, you should be supporting me.
You're right. I get it.
And they have, like, 25,000 kids go to the school, and I was like, tell them all about my story.
Right.
I was like, if all of them buy one item, I'm super rich.
Yeah.
And so, whatever, they didn't believe in the vision. So I was like, I converted a dorm into a store, but what if I do the flip side?
Okay.
So I found this little store in Brooklyn on Craigslist.
Okay.
Which you run.
I do, yeah. That's where I made my money.
Which would be an amazing side plot.
Yeah, yeah. It's a side hustle, but it, you know, it brings in a couple of billion a year. It's worth it.
It is amazing that Craigslist never changed their name.
Yeah.
It's super awesome.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You know that eBay was started by a guy called eBay?
No,
I'm lying.
Yeah, but Yahoo, no.
Yahoo. Well, Yahoo is, you always have other options. That's what Yahoo was. You always have other options. That's why they called it that.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's clever. You know how you can make your summer vacation better? Is with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding and loungewear. It's like being at home, but also going away. It's great. And now you can get 35% off. You can get the unmatched softness. It's really as buttery smoothness of Cozy Earth's bedding. It's better than the finest hotels, and you get a really good night's sleep on your travels. And that's important. It's travel-friendly. It's hassle-free. Cozy Earth's bedding comes in adorable totes, making it the perfect companion for your adventures near and far. You can stay cool and comfy during long flights, and you know what that's like, with the Cozy Earth temperature-regulating bamboo joggers and pullover crew. Makes you look cool when you're traveling. I like it. Well, as cool as I can look when I'm traveling. So discover your next destination for ultimate comfort at Cozy Earth. Visit CozyEarth.com and use our code JOY at checkout, and you'll get 35% off. And let them know we sent you after the checkout. Promo code JOY. J-O-Y. JOY. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Look, everybody has stuff that stresses them out and annoys them, and I'm no different from anybody else. For example, I get very irritated that people that wear shoes that look like feet. That's not a big deal, but it's a big deal to me. Obviously, there are much more important things to get worried about. Get them off your chest. When you keep them bottled up, it starts to affect you negatively. Now, therapy is a safe place to do that. That's what I did. And you figure out what's going on with you, work it through, and then let it go. Let it go, you see, that's what I think. I've done a lot of therapy, and I have to say I'm a very satisfied customer. If you think I'm kind of tense now, you should have seen me before I started. I really do recommend it. If you can do it, you should do it. If you're thinking of starting therapy, I'd suggest giving BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, it's designed to be convenient, it's flexible, and it's suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with, you know, a licensed therapist, a proper one, and then you can switch your therapist at any time for no additional charge. I just think it's a good idea. Give it a shot. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/joypod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/joypod.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
All right, so you convert a store into a dorm.
Yeah, so then I basically move into the back of a store in Brooklyn.
Right.
And I have all my classes in junior year set up. So it's Monday, Tuesday, I go to school. Wednesday through Sunday, I work at the store.
So what college are you at?
I'm at NYU.
Right, okay.
And I'm studying mathematics.
Right, but clearly, you're not going to be an academic mathematician. That's not...
clearly. I think, I mean, it's a side conversation, but I think math is taught really horribly, I mean, in the United States or wherever, but it's not seen as a creative field.
I know, and wrong.
It should be actually the most creative of fields.
I agree. It's the language of the universe, and people think that it's a chore. It's
and
weird.
I don't know why or how it got converted to that, but I think it's like, if me and you are sitting here and there's a problem to be solved, me finding it out faster than you proves I'm more creative. Like, it's the most easy way to prove I'm more creative.
Right.
So I don't understand why. And it's like gamifying it too. Math is quite fun in a game. It's trying to figure things out. So yeah, I think it's taught really bad. But by my senior year of college, I had been, 12 years of math, basically, and it had weeded out, like, all kind of sense of personality.
Right.
And all the kids in that are very, very straight by the book, which sucks because it shouldn't be that. You should have very unique thinkers in a room full of math.
Well, but you clearly are that anyway. So you're taking this mathematics and you're applying it to a different area.
I think what math really helped me at, obviously, it was good at training the brain, but I think it made me fearless.
Okay.
Because everyone was like, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing math. Like, that's so crazy. It must be so difficult. And I was like, yeah, it is, but it's possible, right?
Right.
And I think that mindset was applied to fashion, where it was like, yeah, I don't know a lot about fashion now, but it's learnable. And so math was learnable. Everyone thought it was the scariest thing to major in. I did that. So why couldn't I apply that, like, mindset or mind practice to different mediums?
Was it a social thing as well? Was it a way to meet girls? Was it a way to kind of be social?
I think I was the hottest girl in my math class.
You can't say that, man. All right. No, it's too late. You said it. But I understand what you're saying. But you're now moving into a very different world from academic mathematics, right?
Super different.
Right. And you're in Brooklyn and you're living in a store, which is about the hippest thing I've ever heard.
Well, what's even funnier about this is, to make money, I'm Airbnb-ing a room in the store.
Okay.
And I call it a Brooklyn studio. And if you're from Sweden, this is like the coolest shit ever. Sure. Nothing really works. You're kind of in this art studio. And then I would only try to get people there for like a day or 2 days. Because by day three, they'd notice that there was hours and operations of the store that they were living in.
So they were actually working.
They'd be like, wait, is
living
this
in a workplace
store?
Yeah.
And
wait a minute, I came here in good faith to have a hipster holiday and now I'm living in a store.
But if you're like really foreign, that's the coolest New York experience ever.
Well, when I lived in the East Village in the 80s, there was one or two of your type down there then. The big thing at the time was stores became nightclubs.
Okay.
So there was a furniture store called Space Gallery during the day, and at night it was a club called Space Gallery, and you would go in and it was like, I think that still happens actually.
Yeah, I mean that I would love to. I mean, that would be a very fun thing for the Kid Super new store. Very secretive club.
A club night? Yeah.
You should come see it, by the way.
Where is it?
It's in Williamsburg.
I don't go to Brooklyn, but, yeah. But okay.
Come on.
I'm too old. I'm too old. I can't go. I'll try.
You went to Lower East Side. It's like 10 more minutes.
Yeah, but I'm in the Upper East Side now. I go to the deli. I get my bagel. I go back home. I enjoy my day.
Yes, but these tattoos.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Do you have any ink?
I have super tattooed on my right butt cheek.
Okay.
Committed.
You're going to have kid.
No, I'm the kid.
All right. Okay, I get it.
Everyone always says the same thing.
Well, you know it. Or then get pooper or duper put on. So it's super duper or super pooper.
Well, the pooper's there as well.
Well, you know. But if you're going to start labeling things, you might as well. So listen, you do this. You're in this store in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And now you're starting. Now it's a business, right?
Well, this was the me getting the store was proved to everyone that it was serious.
Okay.
Because it was a physical entity that represented something real. And it's funny because, like, you know, most businesses now start fully e-commerce and they're like, I don't even need a store. We can just direct to consumer. We don't need to have a physical location. But for me, I guess the real thing that excited me about fashion, besides all the other stuff, was meeting people and having a place to, like, again, my parents moved here in the 70s or 80s, and they were always talking about this energy that New York had, and everyone was
working.
And I probably
ran into your parents. I think your dad at some point. I probably ran away from your dad at some point.
In like a club called. It's like, yeah, I've actually touched your father.
Yeah, I've touched your father. I touched your father in the 80s. So now you're my kid.
Exactly. I could be.
You're my kid now. That's it. So I need a cut.
But I always heard about this, and I was like, man, I wish I could live that era. And I was like, there aren't these spaces where people are meeting up. There aren't these, like, these ideas of, like, buildings that you could kind of convert into art studios or, like, convert a store slash club. Like, you just needed so much money to do that nowadays.
Yeah.
It was like, my mom would always say, Colin, like, why aren't you just focusing on painting? And I go, Mom, what was your rent?
Yeah.
She goes, $75 a month. And I go, okay, what did you do? She was like, I could work on Friday as a waitress in the financial district and get tipped $100.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, so you're making your rent on tip one night.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that freedom doesn't exist now.
Yeah, no, that's kind of true. I remember that. I mean, that time period as well was, because I worked on a building site in Harlem.
Yeah.
And I got paid $600 a week, and my rent was $600 a month.
Yeah.
I lived in a very fancy place. $600 a month. But you know that thing you're talking about, the store, is kind of interesting. Because you remember we were talking about there was a store on Avenue A, a furniture store run by an English guy. And he sold 1950s furniture. And it was there that I met Andy Warhol and Basquiat, because people used to go there to hang out during the day and drink beer and sit on the furniture. That's all they did. And yeah, it was kind of a weird time. And I see you're hankering for that.
Yeah.
And people, it didn't feel like there was anything particularly fabulous going on at the time, but it was only in retrospect, you go, this was kind of an interesting time.
Well, even now, so like, I had this physical space, and then no one was coming to the store to shop.
Right.
It was kind of in the middle of nowhere
in
Brooklyn.
That was the problem everybody else had, too. They weren't making any money.
And I remember being like, damn, okay, so no one's coming here to the shop. What if I convert it into a place that people need to come? So I did a thing for Converse. They paid for this recording studio in my basement. I bought, like, a sewing machine. I bought, like, Seamless to take photos. And I was kind of like, anyone who wants to come can come use this place, right?
Okay.
And so I was like, the more people that come, we'll see what happens.
Okay.
And in retrospect, as you're saying now, like, we had so many cool and interesting people work and live out of there in, like, my basement recording studio. I think a couple songs from it are, like, 5 times platinum.
That's amazing.
And so you're, in retrospect, you're like, wow, this is fun, blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, whoa, we were really doing stuff, and this is kind of like what my mom described.
Do you still have the store?
Now I have a bigger one.
Ah.
But I stole all the walls. So I had painted the walls of the store, and when I left, I ripped them all off, and then I rebuilt them in my new store.
You probably lost your deposit.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
I had previously
lost my deposit.
So this store is now a happening place, right? The chronology I'm trying to get to is I'm trying to make the connection between you and Paris Fashion Week, because I think that's when you go nuclear a little bit, when it goes into Paris. So what happens? Did you decide you wanted to try that? Is that what?
So basically, I was doing a lot of different things at that time where I was like doing album arts for musicians. I was maybe doing merch. I was doing art shows. I was doing all this stuff. And I was dropping clothes like super erratically, nothing to the scheduled how most people drop clothing.
Right.
And so someone came into a store, she was like two girls, a stylist and her friend. And they're like, what's next for you? And I jokingly said Paris Fashion Week.
Right.
Complete joke. But at the time you had heard about, you know, Virgil had gone to Louis Vuitton and was doing Paris fashion shows out there with Off-White as well. And there was kind of an energy around Paris Fashion Week. To me, it seemed like completely out of the picture. Like,
it's like saying to an actor off Broadway, hey, what's next? And they go, Superman.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm going to
be
playing Superman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or like, yeah, like you're in high school. Well, it's so funny. So I went to, this is a side note, but I made the jerseys for Barnsley, which is a third division soccer team.
In Barnsley in England?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
So I made their jerseys and I went there. This is fast forwarding, but I went there and they were kind of wrapping their heads around what I was doing. And they were like, so how important was Louis Vuitton like calling you up? And I go, well, it's kind of like you're playing for Barnsley and Real Madrid calling you.
Yeah, that's exactly right, yeah.
And they all were like, oh, wow.
Okay, yeah, all right, now we understand it. Yeah, that's right.
So anyways, I'm back in the store and these two girls ask me what's next and I jokingly go, Paris Fashion Week. And she goes, my boss is a French PR guy who helps people do Paris Fashion Week shows. I'm like, she's like, do you want to meet? And I'm like, sure, no problem. Meeting people was like kind
of. It is your thing. I know that.
It was the goal. And so I'm in this meeting and he's like, so for venues, are you thinking this one, this one, this one? And I didn't want to look stupid. So I just said, like, well, my mom's from Spain. It'd be cool to do a bullfighting ring instead of the conventional catwalk. It would be cool if it was circular. He's like, what about this circus? I'm like, oh, that's amazing, blah, blah, blah. And I leave and I'm like, what the fuck? Did I just plan a Paris fat? And he keeps calling me. He's like, hey, I've spoke to the venue.
But don't you need money for this, though?
Exactly. And so I haven't agreed to any money.
Right.
And I'm just kind of like, this guy thinks I'm doing it, but I had no plans of doing it. But then I keep telling my friends, and I'm like, hey, man, like this, should we do Paris Fashion Week? Just to feel how they'd say it.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone around me was like, yeah, cool. Like, I'm in. Sign me up. And I remember being like, I think I had created this, like, exaggerated persona of myself called Kid Super,
right,
that everyone believed in because I had proven correct a couple times.
Right.
And so they were all in. And I remember being like, all right, well, I'm not going to be the one guy who doubts me. If everyone else is on,
right,
I'm in. So I remember calling the guy. I'm like, okay, let's do this. Like, how much does this cost? Where do we, like, who models it? Blah, blah, blah. And so the cool thing about Paris Fashion Week is, to get on the official calendar,
mm-hmm,
you basically have to show up, do a fashion show at the same time, same area, and they'll review it. And if you're good, maybe next time or the next time or the next time.
Right.
But it's kind of like showing up to Sundance, renting a movie theater, and it being judged by all the people at Sundance. Or...
which was the way at the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, I won Sundance in 1999. Yeah, I think, or 2000. And that was what used to kind of happen. You just took your movie to Sundance.
And physically, you didn't have to talk to anyone.
Well, very quickly it became... you know, well, this guy wants this movie theater at this time, and so it became about really access to time slots,
right,
more than anything. But at the very beginning, there was no, it was like, yeah, bring it along.
Which is such a cool and kind of inspiring or motivating concept where you're like, wait, I just have to show up?
Yeah.
Like, if that's...
it's like the Edinburgh Festival or something for comedians. You just go there.
If that's, like, all that it is, I'll show up for the rest of time. Like, if...
right.
So anyways, I do this fashion show, and I'm like, who to model it? So the first model on my fashion show is my mother.
Perfect choice.
The second model is my father.
Perfect choice
the
again.
The third and fourth is like the rappers that had worn the Kid Super stuff.
Right.
The last person. And so it ended up getting this review from Vogue called Breakout Fashion Show of Men's Paris Fashion Week Show.
All right. So that to me seems like a gear change right there.
It was a gear change for sure, where I'm like, okay. And I had read about other fashion designers, and I'm like, how did like Jeremy Scott turn to Jeremy Scott, or Marc Jacobs turn to Marc Jacobs? And these fashion shows were super integral to their life-changing moments.
Right.
And so I'm like, holy shit, my life's changed. And then nothing changes. And I'm like, wait, well, and because we were in a weird time where like media doesn't matter as much as it wants. Like a good article doesn't change your life.
For sure.
A good, like one picture of a celebrity wearing your clothes doesn't change your life anymore.
Right.
And so it really nothing changed. Besides, I couldn't Uber home because I'd spent all my money.
Wow.
And so I was like, okay, was this worth it? But what was really cool was I felt like it was this amazing, like, artistic challenge. And I don't know how, like, what our goal in life is, but mine was these artistic challenges. And what I also loved was that it was seen by and judged at the highest level.
Yeah.
So I was at the highest
level. You're taken seriously right at this
point. I'm taken seriously just because I'm trying it. And... it's every 6 months. And I'm already got a... so I did that. I got a review.
Wait. Fashion Week is every 6 months?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So every 6 months you do autumn, winter, summer, spring.
Well, I guess
autumn,
that makes
winter,
sense. Yeah,
summer, spring.
You have to keep doing this. It can't be once a year. Right?
Yeah.
It has to be, right.
I wish once a year would be way less physically and mentally draining. But so when they review that, they reject me again from the official calendar. So I've gotten rejected twice or three times. I eventually get it rejected three times. But everyone's like, man, I'm so sorry, Colin, that you got rejected. I'm like, guys, they're reviewing me.
Yeah.
I'm like, this, and it's literally called like the Fédération de Haute Couture. And it's like the most French and prestigious name. And I'm getting this email like, thank you so much for like applying. Unfortunately, you're not, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I was always afraid that I would never get in that room. Or right. Like, I wasn't afraid of, like, that was my fear. But once I was in it, that I was getting no, I was like, oh, this is easy. This is only about amount of times you try, effort you put in, and good ideas.
It's a mathematical equation.
I was like, I'll beat.
It's math again. That's what you're doing.
And I was like, I'll beat everyone in those. Like, you're not going to outwork me or out-idea me. And so I just did it 3 times, and which is more than the average brand has to do. Mm-hmm. But I was, again, such an outsider. And then on my 3rd time, I get accepted to Paris Fashion Week. And
which so I'm is on fantastic. Now, what show do you put on for your first official?
So this is great. Official things happen. By the way, I've blown all my money.
Of course.
And I get accepted. I'm like, fuck, I really don't want to. I don't financially can't do another Fashion Week show. COVID hits. And I'm like, thank God. Which I might be the only person in the world.
No, I think there's one or two people who are like, yeah, okay.
Well, you know, yeah.
I mean, it's bad that people are getting sick, but this is not bad.
No, yeah. But I was like, this stopped all Fashion Week shows, and they all went virtual.
Okay.
And so now, virtual fashion shows were video fashion shows that had really no restrictions because it had never been done before.
Right.
And so you could do a catwalk that you filmed, you could do blah, blah. But it kind of leveled the playing field because now you couldn't, like, rent a palace in Paris, hire the top models. Like, that you couldn't do anymore because models can't move. Renting a place doesn't look that cool on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was my chance. And before this, I had done all these music videos for artists. I had done all this stop motion stuff. So I thought, wouldn't it be funny to do a stop motion fashion show made out of Barbie dolls? And so I bought all these Barbie dolls. I ripped off the head of the Barbie dolls and I 3D printed like 50 Cent, Jennifer Lopez, Stephen Hawking, Picasso, Salvador Dali. And I had all these doll versions of them and little miniature clothes. And I had them stop motion walk on a catwalk.
That's genius.
And in my mind, I remember telling my friends, like, this is our first and last time on Paris Fashion Week. Because I'm like, there's no way
they'll... the French are going to live like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Well, in my mind, I was like, they didn't even make clothes. Like, they're 10 inches tall. And so I'm like, but I thought it was such a cool idea. And I also thought it was so authentic to the Kid Super story because Claymation had been a huge part of the success from doing music videos for different people.
Right. So these are artists that you're collaborating with that are in your store in Brooklyn to begin with.
Yes.
Right.
And so, and I was making their little stop motion videos. And so I get this like amazing review from the pair and it's like a breakout hit in fashion world. And now everyone starts taking me seriously as this like original thinker. And because I was competing during virtual fashion week where everyone else kind of fucked up because they had all these plans for these giant fashion shows that they had to stop. So they were like last minuteing, making these videos where that's kind of my skill is these last minute, no resources, like all that helps me.
Is that when the big fashion houses start circling you about coming in and doing stuff for them?
Not yet.
Right.
But this is where the fashion world first takes an eye to me.
Right.
And they had really not. And so now I'm like, once they supported that original thinking, I was like, oh man, now I can do anything. Because I thought that was going to get kicked off.
Right.
And so I'm like, oh, if that's allowed, then I'll have. And so there was probably 5 COVID fashion shows.
Right.
So like, yeah, 2.5 years of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I did very unique ones. I did one that was a short film. I did one where I set a booth in Washington Square Park and I asked 300 people what they want to do before they die. And then the video cut to them being like, I want to skydive. And it would cut to them skydiving in a Kid Super look.
Nice.
And so I did skydiving. I did family reunion, blind date, climb a mountain, raft a river. And so it was quite, fashion aside, it's a kind of beautiful.
Yeah, it's a lovely thing to do.
Show. And then the last fashion show, I'm like, I always thought there'd be a cool Kid Super television show. And I was like, how do you do this? And so I had looked up the Entourage and How to Make an America IMBD, and I saw a name, and I hit up Rob Weiss from, he's on both of them, and I was like, how do you get a TV show, blah, blah, blah. And I got through him through Instagram, and he was like, well, basically you make a pilot, and maybe someone buys it or not, and blah, 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 and like they fund a pilot. And I was like, what if we just do a pilot and call it a fashion show. I have to spend like, you know, 50 to 100 or 150K every fashion show. Let's just do it for this. And he's like, wow, that's crazy, blah, blah. And so I wrote a script, shot it, blah, blah. And I shot this like pilot episode, called it a fashion show. Everyone was wearing the kid super clothes, but it feels really much like a decent pilot for a TV show.
So does the TV show get picked up?
So then that's how I meet WME, CAA, UTA, are all calling me because of this TV show concept. And again, like super outside of the television world and don't
really...
Yeah,
but that's all changing so much anyway. I mean, everything is changing so much. You're really riding a wave.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
It seems to me that you're very astute, learning very quickly that things are changing and this is how I can do it. And you can adapt. They talk about Darwinism as the survival of the fittest. It's not. It's the survival of the most adptable. Saber-toothed tigers, pretty fucking,
right,
you know, fit. But it's, if it's not going to fit the conditions, if it's not going to ride it out, it's not going to survive. So you do that because the industry is changing, and I think all industries are changing. Like TV is changing, fashion is changing, everything, the world is changing. Do you see a time that you can, you can't really settle into a traditional kind of model? You can't say, well, at a certain point, I'll be Louis Vuitton, because it's changed.
It's changing, and also, it's really not my best strength.
Right.
Like, if you compete head-to-head at, like, fashion infrastructure with one of these big guys, you're getting crushed.
Right.
But...
Because they have distribution and they have the...
And that's their whole thing, and they have millions and billions of dollars backing, but... Original ideas and original ways of thinking and moving very quickly and nimble is a strength that I have that they don't have. So everyone was always kind of thinking like, wow, Colin, like these are such amazing original ideas. It's like, they are good ideas, but it was also like, I was aware of what I could bring to the table and what I couldn't. And the things that I could compete with were more ideas than it was like, you know.
So you had a sense of... You know, yourself, and you had a sense of your place in it.
Yeah.
So what happens when Louis Vuitton comes to you and says, right, we want you to be his guest designer, that's what they call it, right? So they want you to do that for a year. Now we've taken, you know, Sid Vicious out of the Pistols and he's joining the London Philharmonic Orchestra. And now it's a very different world. How does it marry up?
Well, one, Sid Vicious never thought he was going to get to the...
Well, it's such a bad example. Let's get somebody else.
No, I'm saying as the Sid Vicious character,
right.
It was as extreme as that
scenario
where I was like, I'd never even thought... Because, you know, there was rumors about who was going to be next after Virgil, and I wasn't even putting myself within, like, even joking with my friends.
Right.
And, you know, you joke like, oh, I should play.
I should do it.
I never even once brought it up because that's how far-fetched it was. And so when I get the ask or call to pitch, because you still, it wasn't like, we need you, you're in.
Right.
It was like...
Would you like to apply?
Yeah, it was exactly. So I think people think it was like, they just called me and were like, the time is now. And
my name is Louis Vuitton. Yeah. I would like you to come to my house and make a pair of trousers.
It was very much like, you have a first meeting. And I was like, how much time do I have to prepare? They're like, how's 2.5 weeks? I go, perfect.
So what do you make? You just make a bunch of different looks or stuff?
So I made a 500-page book.
Okay.
Of ideas, concepts, thoughts, clothes, pitches, shows, everything.
Right.
I 3D printed shoes. I 3D printed a belt buckle. I made a bag. I shot 3 commercials.
So you really threw down. You did the work.
That's what I think people may or may not understand was like, I don't think I was the top of their list. I think once they saw how much work I was able to do.
Yeah.
In such a short period of time, they were like, oh, if we give this kid resources, like the sky's the limit.
Right.
I was just, again, it was about being in the room. Once I was in the room, I was like,
you
oh man,
win it.
I can do this.
Right. But here's the thing. Now you have a situation where you have, up until this point, unrestricted creative control. Now, I feel like it would be naive for anyone to think you're going to walk into a giant fashion house like Vuitton and they're going to say, do what you like. You know, let us see a picture of the pants. So is there an editor you're dealing with? Is there someone who's looking at, is there a Tim Gunn?
So that's hilarious.
I love it, but I think it really should be, just make it work.
So this is what's interesting about fashion, I think, is... So these runway shows are kind of just an example of your creativity. And then what you see in the store is merchandised for production.
Right. So it's a concept car versus a production line car. Right.
Right? Exactly. Okay. And so in the concept car, you have crazy freedom.
Right.
And I was pretty blown away by Louis Vuitton's like acceptance to new ideas and very little like you can't do this. The whole thing was like, you can do this. This is great. We have a team here that makes it, takes all these ideas and turns it into...
Oh, that's very clever. So what it does then is that you get the concept and there's a group of people who their skill is to take your concepts and make it Louis
Wallets,
Vuitton.
Belts, yeah,
right,
buckles,
right.
Things like that.
Was that that must be a weird kind of...
I mean, the crazy thing is like, I mean, right now you can go to Louis Vuitton and you see like my handwriting on stuff. And
that's
like
kind of odd.
My drawings on my paintings on clothes. But what was really amazing about the experience is like, it makes you dream so big. I mean, obviously you as well, like your life story. It's like once you get on national television, you're like, what can't I do?
Yeah, well, there's a little of that for sure. Yeah. I understand it. For me, it was America. It was like the America, you can do anything because I'm an immigrant. And it feels like you have that from your parents. That they were like, you can do anything here. The sky's the limit in this place.
Yeah. And I mean, definitely felt like I could try for anything.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely didn't feel like it was going to happen.
No, there's no guarantees, but you get the opportunity.
And so, but what was also crazy is like Paris was way more open to me as a designer than America.
That's interesting. I wonder why.
I think because Paris knows they're good and knows that they're great and knows they have history, that they can take risks. America is constantly searching for like, we can't be wrong. Like,
so it's a confidence thing, you think?
I think. Yeah. It's like, if from a fashion world perspective,
no,
Americans...
I think that has resonances elsewhere.
So they, are afraid to take risks necessarily on someone because if it doesn't hit the check, 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 they look stupid because they put all their eggs in a basket of an American. Whereas Paris or France, it's like they've proven themselves
right
time and time again. If they have one that doesn't work, they're willing to test it out.
Well,
I think.
What does it look like not working? Is that like sales are bad? Is it simple as that? Like people just don't want to buy it, or it gets a bad review from, you know?
I mean, the reviews don't matter as much as they ever did.
Right.
I mean, like, I would love to see the numbers of how many people read the, like, your Vogue review.
No, not many.
And and then so that's not what's important. I think
I'm sure you've got more Instagram followers than Vogue.
Yeah. You know? The main thing is just like keeping the energy alive. And like, because I come from a streetwear background where it's like, you know, you're either the hottest streetwear brand or everyone hates, it's like pretty hard to maintain the cool forever. You see it now with Supreme struggling
a little bit. Ed Hardy.
Yeah, but now the cool thing about that is like now Ed Hardy could be cool.
Right, it comes back again. You gotta wait. It's every 20 years, right?
And you can wait that as a brand, and like there's a bunch of brands and like Stussy or Stussy, however people want to say it, that was not cool for like 10 years and now it's super, super cool.
That's interesting. Well, Adidas went through that with sneakers and stuff like that as well. So what now? Because now you're at an interesting point. You're no longer street. I mean, you look street, but, you know, you've been the guest designer. I mean, you've had a number one single.
It's a weird it's a weird position to be in, and earlier than I thought I was going to be into it. And I think, like, the kids' super business wasn't as, like, figured out when I got the LV thing, where I was like, okay, now I know exactly, like, my price point and my distribution and all this stuff. But it's super exciting. I think also the stuff that I'm interested in, things that have opened up, as you said, like the TV series was always something I was really trying hard to do. Art was always something I was really trying hard to do. And I think I have to maintain myself as like an artist that's true to the craft while the Kids Super clothing business builds up. And
so it's the balance of art and commerce again, right?
Yeah, because I think that's what worked for me. And I think added this like luxury standpoint to the Kids Super, even though the prices aren't crazy.
All right, so how does this figure out in your life away? What if I strip all of this away and go, okay, none of this, this is all your work. Is there a person there who is not the work? Is there ambitions for a family? Is there ambitions
Is this a therapy session?
Yeah, a little bit.
At the moment, no.
I think that's okay. That's a very healthy and honest answer. To say, no, this is what I do. This is who I am.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a kind of interesting morality given to people who say, no, I do this. I like this.
Yeah.
Like I'm friends with, I'm sure you know his name. I don't know if you know his work, but I'm friends with Jay Leno.
Yeah. Right?
Now, Jay's thing is, I just like that. I just do my job. I just do my job. That's who he is. And if he didn't do it, I don't think he'd really, I mean, he loves his cars. And,
I was going to say, he likes cars.
Yeah, cars are great. The cars are great. But if you took away doing stand-up comedy for him, I don't think he would really understand what life was about.
I think also I've been really fortunate to brand things that I'm very interested in as Kid Super. So it's like, there isn't too many, like, for example, I did Barnsley's third division soccer jersey.
Right.
Football jersey. And
it's interesting because Barnsley are kind of like, it's an odd choice.
It was an odd choice and an amazing experience, but I called it Kid Super.
Right.
But I would do that as column.
Right.
And I was like, and I got to train with them. So I got to play.
Oh, because you like to play soccer.
Yeah. And I was like, okay,
that's
like,
right.
In what point is that become a column thing or a Kid Super thing? It's a column thing, true and true, but I just branded it as Kid Super. So I think my like moral dilemmas of that stuff, I don't have any because I'm really doing stuff that I would do if it wasn't a brand or I would want to do.
That's what I think. And I think the bottom line is this, is that, you know, I worked a little bit with the Rolling Stones at some point. It was actually, I was working with Mick Jagger.
I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but I'm doing their alternate cover.
Are you really?
Yeah.
That's really fun. Are you working with Jagger?
Well, I don't get to meet him, but he approves.
I bet you do. Because he's really hands-on. I was writing a script with him.
Okay.
We never made the movie. He's like, what we have, put a full stop in there. And do, we have a sentence there and then have this bloke over there. But he's very hands-on. But because I was kind of working with him, they were on tour at the time, so I was in that environment. And this is where I get to you, because Keith Richards is the guitarist in the Rolling Stones. And I don't think he gives a rat's ass if it's a stadium or a pub, as long as he's playing the guitar. That's what it is. And he does it because he doesn't know how not to do it. And I think that's you. I think what you're doing is you're smart enough and you're mathematical enough to know that I can make a lot of money doing this, but I think you would just do it anyway.
And I think that's when you enjoy what you're doing.
Sure.
And I think it's why you continue. I think a lot of people, I started making clothing in high school where none of those, and there's lots of kids that have brands in high school that didn't continue because they weren't hitting like the success meter that they had in their head.
Mm.
But I never had the success meter.
That's right, it wasn't there.
Because I was like, one, I always felt that this was like, I don't know if the word's blessing, but I was always like, wow, I can't believe I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't that I can't believe this is successful. I was like, I can't believe I get the opportunity to like make clothing or fuck around with my friends or whatever. And it's a business. And so I wasn't like, why am I not sales like this or blah, blah, blah. And I always was like, okay, there was always a little bit of a door opening or a door closing. So I knew exactly what to do or not to do, because it wasn't like, I knew the big vision of what I always wanted, but I had no idea how to get there. And then I just followed kind of like open or closed doors.
It's funny. It's a very mathematical approach to it. Like, this gate's closed. It's 0-1, 0-1, 0-1. Go through it. I am very much looking forward to seeing what happens with you next. I'm delighted that you came in and talked to us. You are a force of nature and a real American story. and I'm fascinated by it. Calm.
You
and
have
super.
To come to the store
I'll
in
come
Brooklyn.
To, I'll come
to,
well,
We're
I'll come
taking
Brooklyn.
Him to Brooklyn.
Fuck. All
I
right.
bought a moped. You can just get
I'll
on the
get,
back.
I'll get on the back. I'll be your moped bitch.
Yeah.
See you later.
Thank you so much.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth, no matter who you are, that mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.